Well, so good to see you here this Wednesday. It's cooling down a little bit. How many like that? I like that. And we started a series last week called Road Trip. And what we're finding out is really in a practical way, how did Jesus minister in a practical way when he's staying on his course, he's on his course, how did he function? And last week we talked about allowing really the Holy Spirit to keep us on course. Remember, we talked about the ability for us to start to get off course, and we could get off course a little bit and fake ourselves out and say, no, I'm fine. But the Holy Spirit, how many know the Holy Spirit will tell you right away? Remember this, we talked about dating. And then, you know what, if that's the goal, to go over there, but we just get off a little bit. But as we keep on veering off, we're getting farther and farther and farther off course. And we've got to, you know what, stay the course. Tonight I want to talk, and we talk a lot about this at this church, but it's really important. How many know, you know what, churches where they talk a lot about the healing power of God, you see a lot of people being healed. At churches where they talk a lot about evangelism and evangelizing their friends and neighbors, you see a lot of guests coming in. When you see churches that talk a lot about the importance of prayer and how important it is to spend time in prayer, you know what? You go to churches like that and their prayer meetings, there's a lot of people in prayer meeting. Why do you think that is? Well, think about it for a minute. Faith comes through what?
Hearing.
Through hearing. So where those pastors are preaching, or those churches where they're preaching a lot about the healing power of God, there's that manifestation. Where they're talking a lot about being evangelistic, there's that manifestation. They're hearing it. It's causing faith to come into action. Faith without works is dead. Those things happen, and you see people either in prayer or evangelizing or you know what, or people believing for their healing, whatever it is. Does this make sense? And we teach about all those things because we see them all in the Word of God. But one of the things that we talk about a lot about this church is serving. Everybody say serving. And that's not because that, you know what that really is? It's really a manifestation of a loving church. It's really a manifestation of a loving church. Because here's what I know. And I don't care. Listen to me. It doesn't make any difference how long you've been saved. It doesn't make any difference how old you are. It doesn't make any difference. You know what? People think there is exclusionary clauses in the Bible for them not to serve. And I'm here to tell you, there is no exclusionary clause for anyone. Oh, but my hair is too short. My hair is too long. You know what I mean? My cousin's aunt's, you know what, uncle's cat names is George. It don't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. It is the loving thing for a pastor to do would be for him to tell you, you need to serve. And I'm not just talking about, well, I serve my family. No. I'm talking about outside of your family. I'm talking about serving and building the kingdom of God in direct correlation with the application to your local church. To your local church. So I want to talk again tonight about serving and just point out some real clear observations in the Word of God that I believe will help you. But as a foundation, let me just say this. A servant life is a blessed life. A servant life is a blessed life. We said this last week, and it's so good. One of the ways that we have veered off course in our 2017, you know what, Christianity, is the church has become a feeding place. A feeding place. A place to come and get fed. And you say, Pastor, isn't that supposed to happen? Isn't that what it's supposed to be? Shouldn't the church be a feeding place? Well, that is true. And it should be a place for you to get fed. How many enjoy coming in here and getting fed tonight? How many know you're going to get fed the true word of God that's going to just encourage you and challenge your soul? How many enjoy that? Praise God, I'm glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. It should be a feeding place. But what's happened is the church has become a feeding place exclusively. And it was never intended to be a place for us to come and get fed exclusively. What it was designed for, and what the church is designed for, is a place to come and bring. I would say bring. See, let me say it like this. What the church has become is a taking place. That's probably easier for us to understand. Where people just come and all they do is just come and take. And they just come and take. And they just come and take. And that wasn't how the church was designed. How many know we are, how many know the Bible calls us to be imitators of God? Come on. Give me a good amen on this. How many know we should be imitators of God? Well, let me tell you about God. God doesn't just come and take and take and take and take and take and take. No, He is a giver. And He gives His best. He gives, you know what? If you lack wisdom, you know what? Ask of God who gives generously without reproach. That's how God gives. And so a foundation of understanding and think, and listen to me. A church that is not talking about the importance of us ministering with what we have to bring in. Listen, you show me a farmer who doesn't sow seeds, and I'm going to show you a farmer who's going to go broke. So a loving pastor, it is an act of love that we keep this on the forefront of our thoughts and our teachings here at Hope, where we want to teach you. No. You need to sit and you need to serve. You need to not just come in and, you know what, feed me, Pastor. Give me a meal. No. And listen, we are glad. We are so glad to feed you. That is our calling. Our calling is to, but watch this. You know what we're feeding you for? Oh, this is good. We want you to get fat. Come on, somebody say amen to this. We want you to get fat. You know why we want you to get fat? Because you're going to be pushing a car. Amen? Right? And I want there to be plenty of energy that you have to push that car. Amen? See, my role, the Bible says, is to equip the saints, not that they would be, see, think about it. What is motivation? Who cares if you leave here and go, wow, Pastor, that was awesome. That was deep, man. That was, you know, that was fresh, man. I'm trying to think of what the young kids say, man. I don't know what they say. So, you know what? Now, that's old school. But anyway, that was so old school. That was dope, man. That was dope. Who cares? What good is that? What is it? Anyway. That was lit, Pastor. You lit me up, dude. That was lit. Okay, great. What's the purpose? See, I do want to motivate you. But motivation just to motivate is ridiculousness. I want to motivate you to what? Do! Right? See, my position, my calling, according to Ephesians, is to equip you, not period, is to equip you for the work of the ministry. That's my job. That's my job. Your job is to be equipped to be given the tools that then you would go out and you would do something, that you would build the kingdom. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but Jesus isn't here anymore. He's left. And he sent the Holy Spirit to indwell in you. Here's what he said. He said, it's good that I go. This is Jesus. Jesus said, it's good that I go. Watch this. Because when I go, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. The helper. The helper is going to help you to be evangelistic. Here, let me show you. Somebody help me out. How many know what this is? This is an invite card. Everybody say invite card. Okay. And this is deep. You know, how many know this is a training center? Okay. How many came to train today? Okay. How many came to church? How many came to change? Amen. Okay. This is an invitation card. How many know what this invitation card is, why we put them in the back seat of every single chair? Every single chair. How come we put those in every single chair? Because I want you to take these and pass them out. I want you to take these and pass these out. And if you haven't been here very long, just understand this is how we roll here. If you have somebody and you want to invite them to the church, all you have to do is give me their name and their phone number, and you leave it right up here at the end of service, and that week I will call those people and I will invite them. And if you think I will, you haven't been coming here very long. I will not. Why? Because that's your responsibility. Dr. Racky says, don't do anything for them that they can do themselves. Why? Because then I'm taking a blessing away from you. It's not your positioning. The apostles would not feed the widows. Imagine that. They wouldn't feed the widows. They didn't say they shouldn't be fed. They said, we are not going to do it. You know why they said we're not going to do it? Because it wasn't their job. And they didn't want it, not because they were so pious that no, but they didn't want to do somebody else's job. Their job was to train people to take care of the work of the ministry. Amen. So we can't have, you know what, and we need everybody doing, the Bible says, this church will grow as every part does its share. Every part. I don't want Richard to do more than his share. I just want Richard to do his share. Amen? I don't want Peter to do more than his share. I just want Peter to do his share. But I'm telling you what, if every person tonight in this place will do their share, I'm telling you what, things will happen. Amen. I was talking to my wife today, and you know, sometimes you just feel like as leaders, you feel the pressure of making things happen. And with this after school, tutoring program that we're trying to get off the ground, you know, I told Tamara, I said, Tamara, that was so beautiful. Your announcement Sunday was so beautiful. Here, guys, we need people to come after school and help kids with their homework. I'm done. I'm gonna keep on preaching, but I don't got nothing else to say. I saw it. I saw the rooms over there like it used to be, with tables. That was our overflow when we were all in the North Sanctuary. And Tamara and I saw it. We saw this church, and it was skinny and it was long. And we thought, well, let's have a cafe where people can come early and have some coffee and have a croissant or have a breakfast burrito, and or maybe even come, you know, because we really didn't even lose that much seating when we put the tables in, and they can come and they can bring their Bible and they can sit there with their coffee and they can enjoy the service. Let's have this. And I saw it, and then we actually first built the little coffee house, you know what I mean, back there, and we saw all that. But that season was over in the church. Look at your neighbor and say, everybody's got to change. As a church, if we don't change, it was over. And what did I see? I saw something different. We knew we had to take the youth. We knew the youth had to be over there. And let me tell you, youth is, you know what? Be proud of our youth leaders. We have an awesome youth. Awesome youth. And be proud of you, because you know what? When we did all this work over here, we were done. We're like, oh, we're all done. You know what I mean? I was like, oh my goodness, what were we thinking? We're all done. We got a church that was decorated 15 years ago. It's not even ready for the youth. And it took us a lot of vision, because we saw, what if we took this wall down? What if we took this wall down? What if we did this? What if we did that? You know what? And many of you helped. You know what? We had men who'd come in and they scraped the glue off the ground. How many were glue scrapers? Helped us scrape the glue off the ground. You know what? All over the place. You know, appreciated that. You know what? And other men donated their time and their effort and doing all that, making it happen, their skill. So what do I do now? I don't do anything. All I do is say, hey, I need some tutors. You know what I mean? So, Pastor, I don't even remember algebra. All right, well, can you help somebody read? Amen? Maybe you're not good in math. Maybe you're a good reader. Amen? Maybe you're good in history. Maybe you're good in, you know what, maybe you are good in math. But I'm done. You know what? My position is to see it and to help build. And even building it, I can't. What? I don't know what to do. I don't have to do any of that. But God has graced me to. I can see stuff. I can see where we need to go. And so that position is to say, okay, you guys sign up. And listen, and I'm not saying that it's Richard's. Richard gets picked on because he's in the front row. I'm not saying that it's Richard's position to come to do after school. Maybe that's not his positioning. But I tell you, it's Richard's position to do something. Maybe it's not Peter's position, but it's Peter's position to do something. And if all we have, trust me, if all we have is each person in the church doing something, I'm telling you what, this church is going to grow faster than you could say boo. Amen. Amen. This is a side note, but let me just tell you, how many want to come to a church? I'm just asking, how many are you looking to grow? I'm not talking about numerically, and I know that's important, but how many are you looking to grow spiritually? Okay. Can I teach and show you how you're going to grow spiritually? Yes. Get invested.
Amen.
Get invested. You know, get some skin in the game. Amen. Hello? Get some skin in the game. Get invested. Get, you know what? You'll get fired up. Amen. You'll get fired up about your church. You'll get excited about what we're doing. If you get invested, you just will. Why? Because you're invested. Now you're in on it. Now it's not Tamara and I. It's not me and Tamara's deal. It's our deal. And here's the truth. It is our deal. Amen. I'm gonna sit before God and I'm gonna give account to what I was supposed to do. Can I tell you what? You're going to give it a count too.
Yeah,
amen. And I'm just saying, and if you committed to something, do it. Don't straggle in here, you know what, 20 minutes later, boom, boom, you know what. No, what you're doing is important. Don't be late. Don't be all so tired. You know what, then, you know, drink orange juice and pray in the spirit and get pumped up because we got work to do. Amen. Don't give God the leftovers. Amen. You give him the best. You come in and you be motivated and you give and you serve and here's what's going to happen. And you're going to go, man, I tell you what, my church is the best church. Why? Because you're invested in the church. And we get you invested and you invested and you invested and you invested. And it's just, you know what, what happens? It's just like that. It's just like that, that tug of war. Well, I'm telling you what, you're going to have some torque. You're going to have some power. So serving is, these cards are for you. These cards are for you. Take these cards. Take these cards tonight. Here. Wow, we're going all over the place. Are you guys learning something?
Yeah.
Learn to do this. Every time I ask you to do something, do it. Do it. Do it. It'll help you so much to grow. You got somebody over here? And they come, and they come, and they come, and they come. And I'll say, hey, you know what? Make sure you take invitation cards and pass them out. Make sure you get involved. Make sure you come to the church a picnic. We're going to have a picnic. Make sure, you know what? We're going to have this play. It's going to be awesome. You know what? It's called Park Bench. No. Get every time I ask you to do something, do it. And let me tell you my commitment to you. And when I say mine, I mean Tamara and my commitment to you. Our commitment is this. We won't ask you to do something that we're not doing. Number one. I believe you need to lead from the front. So we won't ask you to do something that we're not doing, number one. Number two, we'll never ask you to do something that's unethical. How many know there's nothing unethical about taking a card and passing it out to your friends? right. And everything that we ask you to do, there will be a biblical purpose for it that is thought through and will help you to grow spiritually. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay. All right. That was all free. Make sure you take a card. Let's talk about three ways to define greatness in the kingdom. Three ways to define greatness in the kingdom. How many know God has defined words and the world has defined words? And we need to redefine words. Hello?
Hello.
The Bible says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. Words are really, really important. So, there'll be certain arguments and there'll be this battle of how to define it. There's a bill right now that just passed the House. Some people say it won't pass the Senate. And here's what this bill is saying, that it will be illegal to get an abortion past 20 weeks. What's 20 weeks? 20 weeks is the time that a child feels pain. So the one side said, well, we have to start somewhere. Let's try to at least package this in a way that we can say that let's be at least as compassionate to these young babies as we would be as compassionate to an animal. And at 20 weeks, after 20 weeks, we know that they feel pain. Well, that statistic is pretty well known. It's a truth that most doctors would say that's absolutely true. But I was reading today, the group on the other side is saying, no, that's not true. Why are they saying that's not true? Because they want to continue. They want to continue to be able to have that abortion. You know what? All the way up to the day before the one gives delivery. Hello. I'm telling you the truth. And so the battle is these words to how it's going to play out. The bill is called something like the Protect the Unborn Pain-Free Bill. What are they doing? They're using the words to try to picture and couch, you know what, the argument. How many words are so critical? They're so critical. So what is greatness? Because Jesus defines greatness, and it's completely different than how many people define greatness. Matthew chapter 10, starting with the verse 35. Matthew chapter 10, starting with the verse 35. Guys, do you have that in the back? You don't have that? Okay, let me turn. Or Mark, do you have Mark 10:35? Okay, great. Do you have Mark 10:35? Great. Then then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Wow, that's that's a big statement, huh? And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? Man, I could preach a sermon on that right there, but I got to go and move on. Then he said to him, grant us that we might sit on one on your right hand and the other on the left hand in your glory. But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Then they said to him, we are able. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink. He's talking about being martyred. And with the baptism that I am baptized with, you will be baptized. both these two would be martyred for Christ. But to sit on my right hand and on my left, it is not mine to give, for it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you do not know that those things are considered rulers over the Gentiles, lord it over them, and their great ones, exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. See, listen, God's going to define greatness, and it's going to be different. He says the Gentiles, the great ones, are the ones who say, do this and do that, do this. But he says, my kingdom, it doesn't work that way. It's different. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave or servant of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for ransom of many. Quickly, I've just got 3 points, but they'll be very quick, but they're very simple tonight. And number one is this: greatness in God's kingdom focuses more on what you can give and less on what you can get. Go back to Mark chapter 10, verse 38, but I'm going to read this out of the NLT, and Jesus says this, but Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? He's talking about this servanthood mentality. One version says, are you going to be able to drink the cup of bitterness and suffering? Wow. We didn't see that part. You know what I mean? We didn't see that part. But here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. Greatness in the God's kingdom is more focused on what you can give and less on what you can get. So the focus is on how can I give? The focus is on how can I give? What can I give? The Bible says in the end days, men will become lovers of self. We can feed into this, and everything is couched. You ever know anybody like this? There's an angle on everything. They're never just sincere. They always have an angle, and that angle is always keying back to them. What are they going to get out of it? No. Greatness in God's kingdom is not focused on what you can get out. It's just focused on what you can give. Number two, greatness in God's kingdom focuses on people, not the price that you pay. Now, this is very helpful. It's focused on the people, not the price that you pay. You know how come Jesus was able to die on the cross and be beaten? The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. Who is the joy that was set before him? You were the joy that was set before him. And so watch this. When you focus on the people, you're able to really do great things. You're not thinking, oh, it's going to, you know, oh, here, let me give you an example. And by the way, we're not doing drive-through prayer this week. We have something else going on, but we'll do it next week. So for all of you who are going to come through drive-through prayer, I'll give you a week off, okay? But I want people to come through drive-through prayer. I want people to be part of drive-through prayer. I want you to be part of drive-through prayer. So you're sitting out there and you're waving and you're smiling and you're waving. And you're smiling and you're waving. Why are you smiling and waving? Because that's what I asked you to do. Every car that goes by, you're holding this sign that says, I'll pray. Maybe your sign is, I'll pray for your family. And you're holding that sign and you're smiling and you're waving. You're smiling. And every single car, I tell the people, don't miss one car. Every single car, I want you to wave and smile. And it doesn't make any difference. You know what I mean? And you're like, how, Pastor, but how could I do that for an hour and be sincere? You know what I mean? I'm gonna feel like one of those, you know what? It's like, eh. No. Let me tell you, you're gonna do it. You're gonna focus on those people. And what's gonna that's gonna do is it changes your whole focus. You're not like, oh, you're like, oh my goodness. Like Pastor says, you know what? Maybe those people, I don't know what they're going through. But I guarantee you, there's people that are driving by and they're hurting. And my focus on them, this is so good. My focus on them gets the focus off me. It's like, it's so hard. And it's, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. You know, where's the water? You know, Steve's going to give me water. You know what I mean? Can I sit down? You know what I mean? I'm going to get on my phone. You know what I mean? No. You're not doing any of that. You know why? Because you're focused on those people. And you're thinking, I'm not going to miss it, I'm telling you, it changes everything. If you just focus on the people, what's greatness? God defines greatness as people who are focused on other people. And in the kingdom of God, that is great. And it makes something, can I tell you, one of the most harmful things that come in the body of Christ, it's selfishness. Listen, it's not about you. It's about this, it's way different than you. It's about this massive family that God wants to create. And you're part of that family. But it's not about an individual. It's about a big family that you're part of. And so you change it from this me, to, wow, how can I serve? How can I make this? What could I give to church that would create and make, you know, Maryland's a great example. If I, and listen, maybe I could through some training, you know what? I have that ability. I could do that. I like numbers. I like budgeting. I like all that stuff. So I could do that. But if I'm focused and not to the degree that I do it personally, but if I had to do it to the degree that Marilyn does that for this church, you know what? I'm telling you what, I'm going to be so involved in the wrong thing. But her, watch this. And I don't think she comes down here and is like, yay, I get to do the books today. You know what I mean? But watch this. I guess some people could be like that, but most people aren't. It's not that. It's about she is freeing up, and she's freed me up for a long time. And I oversee it. I talk to her about it, and we talk about, you know what stuff, you know what's going on, because I need to have my finger on the pulse. But I'm telling you what, it is a oversight kind of position that I talk to Marilyn about. It is not a detailed stuff. I really don't I spend very little time, and I'm just her overseer. That's all I do, and that would be responsible. But I'm not engulfed in it. What's her point? Her point is she's freeing me up to do my job. And all of you get blessed. She's thinking of you as she's freeing me up. And she's very faithful. And she does a great job. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the parts that aren't seen, you might trip out. Because the Bible says it's the parts that aren't seen that are most honored in the kingdom of God. I'm not saying I don't know, but Marilyn might be, the Bible says the first will be last, the last will be first. Marilyn might be way, way up ahead of the line when we get to glory than you might think. Amen. Why? Why? Because her position is the last seen. Are you learning something? But every position is important. There's no position that isn't important in the kingdom of God. And then finally, watch this. Greatness in God's kingdom is focusing on serving others, not being served. The focus is on serving others, not being served. Now, watch how powerful this is. Here's what the Bible says. The way you measure it out, that's how it's going to be measured back to you. I like what Joel Osteen's mom did. Watch this. And I'll close with this. She has cancer, stage 4. She's been told she's going to die. Get all your affairs in order. And you know what she does? She goes to the hospital and she goes to the cancer ward. And she prays for people who have cancer. See, what's she doing? She's doing a couple things. She's focusing on people, but here's what she's doing. She's getting her focus off herself and on others. When you will start, because Satan wants to get you, watch this. Satan wants to get you focused on you, and he, listen to me, somebody needs to hear this. And particularly, he wants you to get focused not only on you, but on your problems. You ever hear that? You know what? Man, they're making a mountain out of a molehill. Amen? I like one guy said, he said, the more I look at my problems, the bigger my problems get. He said, the more I look at God, the smaller my problems get. So you're coming and you're, watch this, because you cannot, how many know you can really only focus on one thing at one time? You know, especially if you're a guy. Come on. But even, listen, I just heard this recently, but even people that are multitask, you know what they say about multitask? Oh, well, we just heard this study. Said the problem with multitasking is that people that are multitask, they don't do a lot of things with excellence. I know that doesn't, sound, because like multitasking is like, oh, it's so cool to be multitask. I'm just telling you, the study said, yeah, you can multitask, but you will do things far less with excellence. Why? Duh, because you're divided. I'm just telling you what the study said. Don't get mad at the messenger, okay? I'm just giving you the message. But watch this. Watch how powerful this is. So if you focus on somebody else, you get your problem off yourself. Watch how powerful this is. And then give, and it will what? Be given back to you. So there's this dynamic that you're not thinking about your problems. You're too busy, concerned about other people. And what happens? It's this spiritual strength that all of a sudden you're like, man, I don't know what's going on. And sure enough, there was a day and they're like, you know what? I mean, that was 20-something years ago. They told her she was going to die. Amen. She's 80-something years old and doing fine. Thank you very much. See, can we get the focus? Can we get kingdom-minded instead of like your little kingdom? The Cohen kingdom or the Hernandez kingdom or the, you know what I mean? No, can we get kingdom-minded? Because I'm telling you what, that's where it's at. That, listen, You want to walk in greatness? Get your mind off yourself. Start serving others. And I'm telling you what, and get ready for a good life. Because that's the recipe for a good life. Father, we thank you that we will become kingdom-minded. We thank you that you will define to us what greatness is. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.